Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. In 1991, the state legislature established a group known as the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force and charged it with studying and making recommendations to reduce the number of child deaths in our state. And over the first couple decades of its existence, the group advanced a number of proposals that ended up finding their way into law and making a real and positive impact in reducing child deaths. In recent years, however, despite the task force's continued good work, progress has been slower and tougher, and it's become clear that there's a need for new and ambitious action from lawmakers if the state is going to further reduce infant mortality and combat the sobering spike in youth suicides and gun violence. And earlier this week, I got a chance to discuss these subjects and more with the executive director of the task force, attorney Kella Hatcher. Well, Kella Hatcher, welcome to News and Views. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
This whole issue of child fatality, and it remains a vexing problem in our society. We've made some important progress in recent decades, and one of the reasons for that is the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force. Can you just sort of remind our listeners what the task force is and what it does and some of the work it's had so much success with?
Sure, I'm happy to, Rob. The Child Fatality Task Force is part of the larger statewide child fatality prevention system, which has been around since 1991. We're actually a creature of state statute. And the task force itself has 36 members. We've got on there state agency leaders, experts in child health and safety, and 10 state legislators. What the task force is charged with is studying our state's data on child deaths and making recommendations to the governor and the General Assembly for changes in law and policy that will prevent child deaths and promote child well-being and also prevent abuse and neglect. And so we go about having meetings where we hear from a lot of experts about data that relates to causes of child deaths, but also strategies and what the evidence is on strategies that will prevent child abuse and neglect and also deaths.
The good news, if you look through Child Fatality Task Force reports and recommendations, the state has made some real progress over the last three decades since the task force was created, right? But we got a lot of work still to do.
That's absolutely right. In fact, the task force started out being a temporary organization and was, I think, so effective that they kept it in place all these years. And few people realize that a lot of the sort of health and safety policies that we take for granted were actually advanced by the task force. I mean, if you're talking about the graduated driver's license system, we all had kids go through that phased approach of learning how to drive. We were the second state in the nation to do that. And that system was created right here by folks at UNC. And, keeping your child in safety seats longer, rules that relate to carbon monoxide detectors or smoke detectors in properties, and a whole lot of health and safety measures that have really been impactful in our state have come through the task force.
And the numbers have, in fact, declined significantly in recent decades. Am I right about that?
They really have.
Overall?
Yes. Yes, they've really been, since the task force came into existence and the larger child fatality prevention system, I mean, they've been cut about in half in terms of rates. They haven't changed as much in the last decade, but they have changed pretty dramatically since 1991.
What are the tough nuts to crack? We've made that progress, but the last decade we've kind of plateaued. What's the next big challenge? What are some of the things that remain vexing problems when it comes to losing young people way too early?
So I can talk about some of the things that we've been working hard on the last few years and some of the things that folks can read about in our 2022 annual report. Infant mortality continues to be stubbornly high, unfortunately. We are the eighth highest among states. Mm. And so we've got a lot of work to do there, right? You know, when we hear from experts about how we can really make a difference with infant mortality, much of that work is related to focusing on social determinants of health, you know, mm. where people live, work, learn, and play really impacts their health short-term and long-term. And so if we're talking about economic stability, access to quality education or childcare or healthcare, and also situations that cause adversity, whether we're talking about experiencing violence or racism or, you know, just not being able to live in a safe neighborhood, those kinds of experiences all impact people's health. If you're talking about infant mortality, those are really important steps that we can take. Some of the other areas that we have focused on in recent years Unfortunately, Rob, we see that the rates of firearm deaths with kids has been going up, and it really skyrocketed in 2020, which is very scary. And that coincided with a surge in gun purchases nationally. So one of the things that we have worked hard on for several years and that we're proud of is we've recommended a statewide firearm safe storage education and awareness initiative. And this kind of initiative, it would be at the state level, but we'd have folks who are doing outreach and providing technical assistance to get local initiatives going throughout the state. So that initiative has actually been addressed in legislation twice, actually, and most recently in 2021, it was addressed in a bill that passed the House one vote shy of unanimously. So it is still eligible for consideration in 2022. And those firearm deaths, that takes me to the topic of youth suicide, which we've already seen increasing. And the two are related because, unfortunately, almost half of youth suicides and more than half in 2020, firearms are the lethal means used. And we know that safe storage of firearms is an effective suicide prevention strategy. And so we've done a fair amount of work related to suicide prevention with other recommendations and youth mental health. And those are some of our leading recommendations for this year as well.
We're talking with Kella Hatcher, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force. Kella, what, you know, you talk about firearm deaths and suicides amongst young children, and it seems to me that there's a non-controversial partial solution to this. Obviously, you get into talking about gun control and gun violence, it can get very controversial very quickly. But this legislation that you got through the House almost unanimously is just about safe storage of firearms, not trying to take anybody's guns away. It's getting everybody on board with the concept. If we're going to have firearms, they ought to at least be kept in a place where children can't access them. Sort of that simple, right?
Exactly. It really is common sense safety, Rob. And we saw, you know, lots of bipartisan support for this, as is evidenced by the fact that it almost passed unanimously. So it really isn't controversial. And it is something that came together and was informed by a group of diverse stakeholders that were kind of on both sides of the gun issue, and also people with lots of expertise that are relevant to this topic, who all agreed that this was an area where we could come together and do something about these firearm deaths, and that these locally tailored safety initiatives would be an effective way to do that.
We need to get it through the Senate in 2022. I take it that's a priority for the legislative session that we're in the midst of right now, or is there some hope there?
Yeah, I think there is some hope there, definitely. I mean, policy takes time, right? And so there's definitely hope. That was one of nine legislative recommendations that we made. So there, you know, we've got a number of things that task force was looking at legislatively. This is one of nine, but we've got a lot of others as well.
May not be able to go through all of them, but I wonder if there are some other ones that you'd like to highlight now, some of the other priorities.
Well, one of the things that we've also worked hard on for several years now is we are part of this statewide child fatality prevention system, which I mentioned. That system consists of local child death review teams in every county across the state. And we have made, the task force has made some recommendations to strengthen and restructure that system to really kind of bring it up to date, you know, after its 1991 creation. We need to support those teams more broadly and better with more specific tools and resources and national best practices. We also need to join a national data system that 47 other states are using, but we are not. It's free to join. If we joined that national data system, we would be collecting much richer layers of data on what these teams actually learn when they get together to review a death. And the reason why these teams come together to review a child death is to identify, you know, what happened? Are there things that went wrong with respect to systems that we can identify, that we can address and fix so that we can prevent future deaths or future abuse and neglect? These teams are made up of local leaders from various sectors, whether it's social services, public health, mental health, law enforcement, the court system, schools. You can imagine that these teams come together to review a child's death, and they have a lot of resources to bring to bear so that if they can identify what's going on and we can collect that data and aggregate it and use it to inform both local and state policy, it can really make a difference. They've done a lot of great work in our state already, but with very limited resources. And we need to really amp up those resources and modernize our data system so that we can optimize their work.
Sounds like in so many things in society, it's a matter of paying attention. We've got the people and the system sort of broadly set up, but they need the resources to get this job done. There are obviously still, tragically, lots and lots of child deaths across the state. And if you're going to review each one and try to pinpoint the causes and how we can improve systems, it takes some dollars to get that done.
That's right. You know, not everything we recommend relates to resources, but in that case, it relates to both resources, restructuring, and really trying to rethink how we can optimize a system that's already in place and make the most of it. And another major push that we've had for a few years is we are losing over 100 babies per year in sleep-related deaths. And that includes deaths that take place in unsafe sleep environments and also SIDS deaths, sudden infant death syndrome. And so many of those deaths are, when they're taking place in an unsafe sleep environment, you know, many of those deaths are preventable. And the American Academy of Pediatrics changed their guidelines for safe sleep in the last decade. And so it takes time, right, for people to really understand what are safe sleep practices. And our state is currently only spending $45,000 a year on a program to prevent these deaths. And so the task force is recommending increasing that funding so that we're spending $250,000 a year, which is a little more than, I think, $2 an infant.
It really is modest.
Yeah. So when you're talking about something that is preventable and that is claiming a lot of lives, really a tragic kind of loss, we really want to be able to expand what we're doing in terms of education and awareness around infant safe sleep.
We've alluded to the conversation around suicides, but I want to ask you about the role that schools play in suicide prevention. I take it that's another area where we could perhaps be having a more robust state response to this crisis of young people committing suicide in these challenging times.
Yes. Well, I mean, the task force really acknowledged in one of its recommendations this year that we are experiencing a youth mental health crisis in our state, and that timely and appropriate funding is needed to address that crisis. Many of the conversations that we've talked about in task force meetings have revolved around the school context. We made some progress in 2020 when a task force recommendation came into law that requires suicide prevention training for school personnel in schools and that requires a risk referral protocol. So that was a great step in that direction. But one of the other areas that we've focused on is the important role that school counselors, school social workers, nurses, and psychologists play in addressing student mental health, right? And education experts who've talked to the task force have talked about the importance of this team as a whole and having these strong teams in every school. And unfortunately, in our state, we fall far short of meeting nationally recommended ratios for these types of professionals. So we've talked a lot about the need to increase the numbers of these professionals, but it's not just funding we need. That's part of it. You know, we've got pipeline issues and challenges with how do we attract and retain these professionals into these professions and keep them there. We've seen some funding that has increased some numbers somewhat, but a lot of this funding is temporary. And what we hear from the education folks is that when that temporary funding goes away, so do the positions. And so it's recurring funding that we really need in order to make these teams as strong as they need to be to address student mental health.
Well, there's a whole bunch of other issues I'd like to ask you about, but we're coming to the end of our time with Kella Hatcher, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force. Kella, how can people learn more about this issue? Is there a best place to go? Is there a website you would recommend where folks can learn about child fatalities in our state and maybe
Sure.
learn about how they might be a part of the solution?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. We have a website. So if you just Google us, the North Carolina Child Fatality Task Force, it's actually hosted by the General Assembly or a legislative study commission. We post pretty much everything about what we do on our website. And I would encourage folks to read our 2022 annual report, which has our recommendations for the year and a lot of data and evidence that we're behind those recommendations.
Thanks so much for your service to our state. I guess it's one job that we hope you can work yourself out of at some point in the state, sometime in the
that
future.
That is so true.
We thank you for your service, and hopefully we'll check in again later this year and maybe discuss some more good news.
We appreciate your interest. Thanks, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.